Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. Today, we're breaking down Frontier Airlines' second quarter 2026 10Q filing, dated July 29th, 2026. This one has a lot of moving parts. Fuel shocks, fleet restructuring charges, a regulatory hit from the TSA, and some genuinely interesting revenue momentum underneath all of it. Let's get into it.
Mike, before we dig into the numbers, give us the one-sentence version of what this filing is really saying.
If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. Frontier is generating real revenue momentum, 38% top-line growth in Q2, but that momentum is being almost entirely consumed by a fuel cost explosion and a fleet restructuring that is front-loading enormous one-time charges onto the income statement right now. And based on this filing, Frontier Airlines is operating in a structural reset phase. The company is actively reshaping its fleet, renegotiating its financing relationships, and absorbing legacy regulatory liabilities, all simultaneously. That is not mid-cycle expansion. That is a company rebuilding its cost and asset base while trying to hold revenue gains together.
Strong framing. Let's test that thesis against the evidence. Walk me through the material changes versus the prior year period.
The headline number is striking. Total operating revenues for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2026, came in at $1,279,000,000, a 38% increase compared to the 3 months ended June 30th, 2025. For context, a 38% year-over-year revenue jump is exceptional for any airline, let alone an ultra-low-cost carrier where ticket prices are structurally compressed. The filing attributes this to a 28% increase in revenue per available seat mile, or RRSM, driven by a 20% increase in total revenue per passenger, a 1-point increase in load factor, and an 8% increase in capacity as measured by available seat miles.
So demand is genuinely strong. What's the catch?
The catch is fuel. Aircraft fuel expense increased by $206 million. That is a 90% increase. For the 3 months ended June 30th, 2026, compared to the same period in 2025. The filing breaks it down precisely. A 77% increase in fuel cost per gallon, compounded by an 8% increase in fuel gallons consumed due to higher capacity. When your single largest variable cost nearly doubles in 1 year, it overwhelms almost everything else on the income statement. And the causality chain here is direct. If fuel cost per gallon stays elevated, management explicitly cited Middle East geopolitical tensions as the driver, then operating losses persist even as revenue grows. And the investment case hinges entirely on whether yield improvement can outrun the fuel bill. Right now, it cannot.
And the net loss reflects that?
Exactly. Net loss for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2026 was $90 million, compared to a net loss of $70 million for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2025. On a 6-month basis, the gap widens considerably. A net loss of $362 million for the first half of 2026 versus a net loss of $113 million for the first half of 2025. That is a 300% deterioration in net loss year over year on a half-year basis, even as revenues rose 23%. That divergence is the core tension in this filing.
Let's move to what management is actually saying in the MD&A. What signals are you picking up on tone and emphasis?
Management's language is measured but notably candid about the pressures. On fuel and geopolitics, the filing states directly, and I'm quoting here, "Recent geopolitical tensions and military conflict in the Middle East, including developments involving Iran, have contributed to volatility in global energy markets. Higher crude oil prices can increase our jet fuel costs, which we experienced during the 3 and 6 months ended June 30th, 2026. That phrase, which we experienced, is important. Management is not hedging about whether the impact was real. They are confirming it happened and then adding, quote, continued uncertainty or further escalation could pressure our operating costs and negatively affect our financial performance. That is unusually direct language for a corporate filing.
What about the TSA situation? That seems significant.
It is significant, and management's language there is also telling. The filing discloses that during the 6 months ended June 30th, 2026, Frontier recorded a one-time charge of $73 million, they call it the TSA reserve, related to audit findings covering the 2016 through 2022 periods. This stems from TSA fee remittances for passengers who purchased tickets and did not travel. Management states, quote, "We believe a loss for this matter is probable and estimable, and we are contesting the assessment." That phrase, probable and estimable, is the accounting threshold for recording a liability. They have reserved for it, but they are also fighting it. And critically, the filing adds, "We could be subject to further TSA audit examinations and resulting assessments." That is an open-ended tail risk.
On the labor front, what did management signal?
The filing notes that Frontier is currently in negotiations with unions representing pilots, flight attendants, and aircraft technicians. No resolution timeline is given. No cost estimates are provided. The language is brief and factual. Management is not telegraphing urgency, but the presence of three simultaneous union negotiations at a carrier already under cost pressure is a variable that deserves attention. Higher crew costs were cited as a driver of the 5% increase in salaries, wages, and benefits in Q2.
Let's get into the financial red flags. From a margin durability perspective, what concerns you most?
Three things stand out. First, the KSM trajectory. Total CASM, cost per available seat mile, reached 12.39 cents for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2026, a 27% increase year over year. For an ultra-low cost carrier, KSM is the foundational metric. The entire ULCC business model depends on keeping unit costs structurally below network carriers. A 27% KSM increase on only an 8% capacity increase means costs are growing more than three times faster than the capacity base that is supposed to absorb them. That is a structural problem, not a one-quarter anomaly.
How much of that is the fleet restructuring charges?
That is the critical distinction. The early return agreement, Frontier's decision to terminate leases on 24 Airbus 320neo aircraft, generated $70 million in operating expenses in Q2 alone and $209 million in the first half of 2026. These include lease return costs, write-offs of non-recoverable capitalized prepaid maintenance, and accelerated depreciation. When you strip those out, adjusted CASM, excluding fuel moves, from 7.50 cents in Q2 2025 to 7.84 cents in Q2 2026, a more modest 4.5% increase on 8% more capacity. That is a meaningfully different picture, but the causality chain still matters. If the fleet transition costs run longer than expected, or if the replacement aircraft come in at higher lease rates, that adjusted KSM figure will drift upward and the margin recovery story weakens.
Second red flag?
The fuel cost per gallon spike. A 77% increase in fuel cost per gallon in a single quarter is extraordinary. For context, jet fuel typically represents 25 to 30% of airline operating costs in a normalized environment. When it surges this sharply, it compresses operating margins across the entire industry. But ultra-low-cost carriers feel it more acutely because their revenue per passenger is structurally lower than network carriers. Frontier's revenue per passenger did rise 20% year over year, which is meaningful, but a 77% fuel cost increase is not something yield management alone can fully offset in the near term.
And the third flag?
The cumulative net loss position. A $362 million net loss in the first half of 2026, even with significant one-time charges, represents a cash and equity drain that compounds over time. The adjusted net loss for the first half which strips out the early return agreement charges, and the TSA reserve was $90 million. That is still a loss. Frontier is not yet generating adjusted profitability on a half-year basis, which means the structural reset is still in progress, not complete.
Let's talk about risk disclosures. The filing notes no new or significantly escalated risk factors versus the prior filing, but there are some specific items worth flagging.
Right. The filing does not introduce formally new risk categories, but the combination of risks in play simultaneously is worth naming clearly. You have geopolitical fuel risk, management explicitly cited Middle East tensions and Iranian developments as drivers of energy market volatility. You have open-ended regulatory risk from the TSA audits, with the filing explicitly warning that further examinations and assessments are possible. You have three concurrent union negotiations with no disclosed resolution timeline. And you have a fleet transition that is generating hundreds of millions in charges while the replacement aircraft pipeline, including 11 Airbus 321neos contracted for sale leaseback, is still being executed. Any one of these in isolation is manageable. All four running simultaneously creates a high-wire execution scenario with limited margin for error.
From a capital allocation lens, let's look at liquidity and the balance sheet.
As of June 30th, 2026, Frontier reported total available liquidity of $1,156 million, consisting of $936 million in unrestricted cash and cash equivalents, plus availability under their revolving line of credit. For a carrier of Frontier's size, crossing $1 billion in available liquidity is a meaningful threshold. It provides a buffer against the kind of operational shocks we have been discussing. The Barclays Credit Card Affinity Agreement Amendment is also directly relevant here. In June 2026, Frontier extended that agreement from December 2029 to June 2037, nearly 8 additional years, and increased the pre-purchased miles facility from $200 million to $375 million. That is a 75% increase in that facility. Management is essentially monetizing future loyalty revenue today, which is a smart liquidity management move, but also signals that the company wants maximum financial flexibility heading into the back half of 2026.
What about the fleet sale leaseback transactions? How do those factor in?
The 11 Airbus 321neo aircraft contracted for sale at delivery, three in Q4 2026 and eight in the first half of 2027, represent a deliberate capital recycling strategy. Rather than taking delivery and holding the aircraft on balance sheet, Frontier is converting those deliveries into cash proceeds immediately. The filing also notes that sale leaseback transactions partially offset the non-fuel cost increases in Q2. This is a pattern consistent with a carrier that is prioritizing liquidity preservation over asset ownership during a period of elevated costs and uncertainty. The trade-off is that you give up long-term ownership economics, but in a structural reset phase, that is often the right call.
Let's move to segment-level analysis. Frontier operates as a single-segment airline, so we do not have the kind of geographic or business unit breakdown you would see at a network carrier. But what can we say about the revenue composition?
The filing does give us useful unit economics. On the revenue side, the 20% increase in total revenue per passenger in Q2 was led specifically by fare revenue per passenger. The filing calls that out explicitly. That matters because fare revenue is the core product, not ancillary fees. When fare revenue per passenger is the leading driver of yield improvement, it signals genuine pricing power rather than fee inflation. The 5% decrease in average stage length also contributed. Shorter routes typically generate higher RASM because fixed costs are spread over fewer miles. The 12% increase in departures and the 1-point load factor gain round out a picture of a carrier that is flying more frequently on shorter routes with fuller planes at higher fares. That is a coherent revenue strategy.
And on the cost side, any segment level nuance?
The maintenance line is worth isolating. Maintenance, materials, and repairs expense increased 36% in Q2 and 110% in the first half of 2026. The H1 figure, a doubling of maintenance expense, is almost entirely attributable to the early return agreement write-offs. But even in Q2, where the charge was smaller, higher engine repair costs and timing of aircraft inspections drove a 36% increase on only a 6% larger fleet. That is a cost category that warrants close monitoring as the fleet transitions to a newer Airbus 321 Neo base, which should carry lower maintenance costs over time. But that benefit is not yet visible in these numbers.
Let's close with what traders and analysts should be watching and test our core thesis.
The filing does not provide specific financial guidance figures, so we are working from the operational signals management emphasized. The metrics to watch most closely are fuel cost per gallon, given management's explicit linkage to Middle East geopolitical conditions, adjusted KSM excluding fuel, which strips out the one-time restructuring noise, and RASM trajectory as the fleet transition completes. Management also flagged the Starlink Wi-Fi announcement for 2027 as a product enhancement, which is a longer-term ancillary revenue story, not a near-term financial driver.
What would prove our thesis wrong?
Two specific scenarios. First, if fuel cost per gallon stabilizes or declines materially in the second half of 2026, driven by geopolitical de-escalation or demand destruction elsewhere, and RASM holds at or above current levels, then the adjusted net loss of $22 million in Q2 could flip to profitability faster than the structural reset framing implies. Second, if the early return agreement charges are truly complete as of June 30th, 2026, the filing states all 24 aircraft have been returned, and the Airbus 321 Neo fleet ramp drives utilization recovery from the 6% daily utilization decline seen in H1, then the cost structure could normalize faster than the headline CASM numbers suggest. If both of those happen simultaneously, the structural reset thesis is too pessimistic, and Frontier may be entering early recovery sooner than this filing indicates.
And the thesis as tested against the full weight of evidence?
The thesis holds. Revenue momentum is real. 38% top-line growth and a 20% increase in revenue per passenger are not noise. But the combination of a 90% fuel cost increase, $209 million in fleet restructuring charges, a $73 million TSA reserve, and three open union negotiations means the income statement is absorbing extraordinary pressure from multiple directions at once. The adjusted net loss of $90 million for the first half, even after stripping out the one-time items, confirms that Frontier has not yet reached the other side of this reset. From a valuation framing standpoint, this equity is priced for a company in transition, not a company that has completed its transition. The liquidity position at $1,156 million provides runway, but the clock is running.
That is a sharp read on a complex filing. Thanks for walking us through it, Mike.
Always. A lot of moving pieces here, but the filing is actually quite transparent about what is driving each one.
That wraps up today's episode of Aviation Intelligence Weekly. A reminder that everything discussed today is drawn directly from Frontier Airlines' publicly filed 10Q for the period ended June 30th, 2026. Nothing in this episode constitutes investment advice, and all analysis reflects the filing data as of the date of that document. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. We'll see you next week.